This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
I don't know about you guys. I have a favorite sweatshirt. It's really a hoodie. I don't know if anybody have something similar that you would wear every single day if you could. I wear mine, I start in October, and sometime here when it gets warmer, I'll stop, but I wear it every morning to get up, and it's like the perfect sweatshirt hoodie. It's the perfect weight. You know, weight has a lot to do. You don't want it too heavy where it's like you're sweating all the time, but not so light that you're cold. It just fits right. There's some things that fit better than others, right? And so I just wear this. It's my comfort thing. When I get home at the end of the day, you know, I change out. And if I'm not doing anything like I didn't do anything yesterday of any consequence, I wore it all day. And it was like my comfort thing, and I love it. And I have no idea where I bought the thing. I just don't remember. It seems like it's always been part of my life. It's starting to get frayed on the ends. When it finally goes south, I don't know what I'll do. I don't know how to find another one. But I really love this sweatshirt. I really love this hoodie. And I will wear it all the time if I could. But one of the reasons I picked it out, I do know this, and one of the reasons I wear it a lot is because what it says on the front. And what it says on the front is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. And so on the front, this is what it says or what it has on there. It says this, be strong and courageous. So the word strong and courageous on there, it's a reminder to me when I put this on to be strong and courageous, right? To go through life with this idea. So it's like, okay, here's life. I get up in the morning. It's cold in the house. I put this on. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, meaning your enemies. And we have an enemy, right? We have an adversary. So it's a great reminder. Don't be afraid. Don't be in dread of them, and even the day or Monday morning, but instead, do something else. And there's a reason why. And it says this is a reason why. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. I mean, that to me just says everything I need to know about the day. The Lord your God who goes with you. God is going to go with me. He's going to be there through all that I've got to face today, all I've got to deal with, good and bad, right? The Lord is going to go with me. And here's a promise. We just sang about the promises of God. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will be there for you. And he is not walking away, and he's not going anywhere. And this is a great comfort to me, and it should be to all of us, right? And most of us, I mean, I don't need to stand here and say God's omnipresent. You guys know that, right? Omnipresent. I mean, he's always present. He's always near you. He's not going anywhere. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. That's clear to us, though we don't always understand it. God is here, right? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there as well. So that means he's here in the room. He's always with us. He's not going anywhere. We know it in our heads. We know it in our heads that God is omnipresent. He is here. In Psalm 139, verses 5 through 12, the psalmist puts it this way in some really beautiful language. This is what he wrote. You go before me and follow me. In the original language, you might have heard English version, you hem me in. It's like he's so close in front of you. He's like here. He's just a little bit ahead of you in time. But he's also behind you, so close, there's no space. He's in front of you, and he's behind you. He's always there. And it says, you place your hand of blessing on my head. And then because we're human beings, he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend it. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact, really thought about the fact that God is here? And he's always with you wherever you go. Whether you think about him or not, and have you ever gone through a whole day without thinking about God? Probably so. God never thought otherwise except to be with you. He's always there. He says, it's too wonderful for me, it's too great for me to understand. I can't comprehend a God that can be with you and you and you and you, and he can also be with me throughout the day. I cannot comprehend that. And that he never goes away. When I'm asleep, he's there. When I'm awake, he's there. I mean, this is just big stuff. And he went ahead, and this is what he wrote next. I can never escape from your spirit. There's nowhere I can go. Even if I wanted to walk away from you, God, I can't get away from you. I can't escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Wherever I go, you're there. Everywhere I go, I see you. You're there. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. And then I love the beauty of this next line. If I ride the wings of the morning, like in this morning, whenever you got up, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, think about how far away you can go, even there your hand will guide me. Even there your working God and your strength will support me. You're there. You're not going to be unfaithful, God. You're there wherever I go, no matter how good it is, how bad it is, how triumphant it is, how rough it is, you're already there. And then he gets down into like some real spiritual, emotional stuff. The next thing he said, I could ask the darkness to hide me. Now, darkness could be physical darkness, you're hiding in the darkness, or it could be spiritual darkness, it could be emotional darkness, like these times where it just doesn't feel like God's there at all. I could ask the darkness to hide me, I could kind of go away from you, try to get into a dark place, and the light around me to become night, I could ask that to happen, always night, but even in the darkness, I can't hide from you. No matter how bad things get, I can't go away. To you, the night shines as bright as day. You can see in the darkness. And darkness and light are the same to you. So no matter what your situation is, no matter where you go, what you're experiencing, how bad work was that day, how rough your relationship is at home, how good it is, how wonderful life it is, no matter what you're experiencing, God's there. Now we get this, right? We get it in our head. We got it. Now for some of you that are following Jesus for a long time, when you first started following him, there was probably something that happened that grabbed your attention. You just experienced God. It's different for different people. Some people, it's conviction of sin. You just suddenly saw yourself the way God saw you, and you go, I need a Savior. But that was God, and you were sure that it was God, or you wouldn't have made that decision to follow Jesus. For some, it's an overwhelming presence of God. And that moment is like, oh my gosh, my eyes were open. I thought I knew, but now I see. And it's like, boom, it just hits you. Some of you, it's reading like a verse. And suddenly you go, that's me. That's how I feel. That's what I'm experiencing. It's like God's speaking to me. Maybe someone says something to you. I've had this happen to me. Somebody will go, well, what you said today was just for me. And I go, what did I say? I have no idea. What did I say? And they'll tell me, go, I don't think I said that. I really don't. And I could look at the Facebook, you know, post or YouTube. I could go back and look. But it's like sometimes I don't remember saying things. And people go, well, I heard it. Okay. It could be in a song. It could be in a hymn, just like Brandon wrote about in the newsletter on Friday. If you don't get that, I want to encourage you to. He wrote really eloquently about how a hymn that we did last week had spoken to a point in his life where he was giving his life to Jesus, and it completely did a 180 in his life, and how at that moment he heard from God, and it just this precious moment in the presence of God, and maybe that's happened to you, and you're just going, man, God is here, and he's speaking to me right now. And it could be a devotion that you read. Have you ever done this before? If you're in a devotion, and it'll say March the 9th. And the book was published 10 years ago. But on March the 9th, when you read it, it's like, oh, that's exactly what I had to hear today. That was a question I had today. It was a moment with God I wanted to have. And you're going, God, how did you do that? That you knew where I was going to be. And that guy wrote this 10 years ago. That woman said this. And now it just hits me on the right day. If that's ever happened to you, you're going, that's the presence of God. I want to live there every single day. But for some of us, and maybe right now, or probably for all of us, we've had a period of time where it's like, I don't hear from God. God's silent. I don't see God around me. He seems distant. I pray and nothing's happening. I go to worship and I'm not experiencing him. I pray, or I haven't prayed in a while. Ever happened to you? You go through a whole day and never thought about God one time. You ever gone a week that way? Most of us will probably experience that. And God just seems distant. God seems far away. It happens to all of us. We're human beings. And in this series, what we're doing, we're asking ourselves, what do I do when? At different things, like what do I do when I'm lonely? What do I do when I'm depressed? What do I do when I'm in debt? We're going to look at that in a couple of weeks. What do I do when I don't know what to do? All of these things so that we know when we get there, and we will get there at some point in our life, what are we going to do? Today, we want to look at this question. What do I do when God seems distant? What do I do when God seems far away? What do I do when I'm not hearing from God? What do I do when he's silent? And we're going to do something a little different today. Instead of a fill in the blank, it's fill in the blank, but it's questions. When you're there, here's three questions that you're going to ask yourself. Three questions that you want to look at your own life because you know in your head and your heart the promises of God that he's with you. You know that, but you're not experiencing that. So here's three questions that you should ask yourself when you're in that period where God seems distant. First question, am I seeking God or am I just seeking a feeling or an experience? Am I really seeking God, like I'm seeking after God, or I'm just seeking for experience or a feeling that I felt sometime in the past and I want to feel that again? Now here's the deal with the Israelites. Remember them? They kept asking for a sign. If you've ever studied the Old Testament, you know when they got released from slavery. God would do these miraculous things to get them out. He would do miraculous things to bring them through the Red Sea. And what they kept saying is, God, do it again. Do it again, God. We want that experience. And you would think, and I've had people say this before, if Jesus was just here and he did a miracle in front of me, I'd believe. And the track record of that is not good. The Israelites were constantly seeing God do crazy, amazing stuff. And then like 40 days later, they're turning to other gods because they're looking for an experience. They're looking for a feeling. Do it again. Do it again. Jesus, when he talked to the people around him, especially the Pharisees, he says, you guys just want another sign. You don't really care about me at all. You just want me to do something in front of you. And when I do that, you'll go, you tricked us. Do something else. Have you ever had God answer a prayer for you, and a year or two later you begin to doubt about it? Did he really do that, or is that just coincidence? Signs don't last. Feelings don't last. In Psalm 40, 1 through 4, the psalmist, 3,000 years ago, wrote this. He wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. Just stop there for a second. I want you to notice what's not there. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. How long? How long? Does it say? Doesn't say, does it? 1 hour? A day? A week? A month? A year? 5 years? Decade? 20 years? 25 years? Doesn't say. But this person, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. I'm not hearing from God. There was a period of time I didn't hear from God. Then he goes on to explain it. And then finally he turned to me and heard my cry. Finally, there was some point he answered, but for a period of time, I didn't see him. And then he wrote about his experience. This is what he said. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. The pit of despair is hopelessness. It's where you don't hear from God. I was in this pit, he said, not a real pit, right? But I was in this place that I was in this pit of despair so down deep, I couldn't see my way out. I could not see God. And then I was out of the mud and the mire, the muck. You ever been a spiritual muck before? What happens in the muck? You get stuck, right? You get stuck in the muck. It rhymes, it shouldn't, but it rhymes. You get stuck in the muck. Have you ever been a place that's so muddy that you step down and your foot came out without your shoe? You ever done that before? And you pull up and then you left your shoe, you gotta get out and you take another step and you do the same thing and you gotta constantly pull your foot out. I grew up on a tidal river. And I guess before we moved there, it was all sandy beach. It's not our fault. But after we moved there, mud came in. And by the time I was growing up and taking the boat out and stuff, it's a tidal river. You could have like 200 yards of mud before you got to the river. My brother took out the sailboat one time, and he got too far out and waited too long, and there was about a quarter of a mile of mud. And he had to swim through mud. You ever swum through mud, just pure mud and muck? Because he couldn't step. He had to swim on top and go like this and pull the sailboat. He came out, none of us knew who it was. It was like, who are you? He's just covered with it. And that's what it feels like sometime when you're in a place and you're just stuck. You're stuck spiritually. You're in the pit of despair. You're in the muck and the mire. And you go, this is hard. This is hard. But then God did something. It took a while, but then God did something. He lifted me out of the pit of despair and out of the muck and mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. There came a period where he did answer. But there was a period he had to wait patiently. And then what did he do? What did God do? He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. There was a period he lifted him up. God began to move again, began to work. He had to go through it. And then this next verse, people saw this and they will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have put no confidence in the proud or those who worship idols. What did he learn while he was in the pit? What did he learn while he was in the muck and mire? He learned to trust. Another word for trust is have faith, right? And this was huge for God. Here's the deal. You guys know this. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle. You will seek a feeling and you'll feel it and then it'll go away. If you have a relationship where it started off, you know, you're cute and you're attracted and all that stuff, and that leaves, what are you left with? Nothing. So what happens is we learn to trust. We learn to love and to trust the other person, right? That's where real love happens, is in this trust. I trust you. I believe you. You don't have to be next to me to believe that you're part of my life. I don't have to see you to believe you're part of my life. I just trust you. I know that you're going to be there. And that's what makes a real relationship. And the whole thing God wants from us is a relationship. He wants us to trust him. He doesn't want us to rely on feelings because feelings will come and go. He wants us to have faith. On each one of these questions, we're going to do this thing. We're going to say, what do I do then? If I'm in this place, am I really seeking God or a feeling or experience? And what do you do? And the answer is two words, have faith and wait. If you're in a place right now where you're just like stuck in the muck and you can't move forward spiritually and you're not hearing from God, what do you need to do? You need to have faith and you need to wait patiently. He will answer. He will show up. He will come back. He will get you out. He will lift you up. He will set you in a new place. There will be a new song in your heart. Things are going to be better. But until then, believe the promises. God is with you. He has not left you. He's not going anywhere. He will not forsake you. The longer it goes, the more you have to trust. Do you know what God does when we're in those places? He stretches us. Stretching is uncomfortable. When you were growing, did you have growing pains? Anybody remember those? Your knees, your ankles, whatever it was? Did you ever go really fast one year and like you're like, oh my, everything hurts. And then you came through it and you were 6 inches taller or 5 inches taller or whatever it is, maybe a foot taller. And you went through a period of growth and it would hurt. Sometimes being stretched hurts, but God is growing you to move beyond feelings to faith. That's something to ask yourself. If God's quiet, am I seeking God or I'm just seeking a feeling or experience? That's question one. Question two is this. If you're feeling like God is distant, is there something in my life that's coming between me and God? Is the second question. To really examine and go, is there something that's come between me and God in my life? Have I put something? Because God has not moved. Have I moved? Is there something in my life that's coming between me and God? He seems distant. So it's not him, it's me, but what is it in me? In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah is writing to a group of people that have turned away from God, and they're being disciplined by God, and physically were moved out of Israel and Judah. We've talked about this before. They had to go into exile, away from God. And this is what Isaiah wrote to this people, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. Could God fix the situation you're in? Yep. Could he wake you up one day and go, here I am? Yep. Could he heal you like this? Yes. It's not that God can't. Some of your versions say God's arm is not too short to reach you. It's the same thing. It's not that he's not able to. He's able to. There's something else going on maybe in your life at the moment. Maybe a place to check. Doesn't mean that this is the reality, but it's something to check at least. Is there something in your life? It says, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you. He hears your prayers. Sometimes he's saying, not yet. Sometimes he's saying, no. Other times he's saying, there's one more thing I want you to check. And here it is. Next verse. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. That is a possibility in some situations to check out. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Now, let's be careful. In the New Testament, we know that your salvation is not threatened by your sins in the sense of it's not going to be taken away from you. But there'll be a time where it comes between you and God so you don't hear him anymore. You ever been somewhere like in an airplane? Let's think about this. If you've ever flown and you're taking off and it's really cloudy and there's a storm, you ever had this and it's like scary and you get above the clouds and what's above the clouds? The sun. And it's beautiful up there. But down below, it's kind of stormy. Or have you ever done the reverse thing where you're up above the clouds, see the sun, it's really beautiful and you pass through the clouds and there's the storm. Above the clouds, the sun's shining. Below it, the clouds come between. That's what happens with sin. Again, it doesn't threaten your salvation. It does threaten your fellowship with God. So you can't hear. It's hiding from you. Let me ask you a different way. You ever had a relationship with somebody? It could be a family member. It could be your spouse. And something happened between you. Somebody said something. And somebody decided to give the other person the silent treatment. You would never do that. But maybe the other person did it to you. And you're in the car and you're driving for hours and nobody talks. Or you're in the same living room and you just don't talk to each other. You go to work and there's that person you don't like and you just don't talk to them. You ever had that happen? You can just nod. You don't have to point the person near you, okay? But you've had it happen, right? There's something between you. And until it's cleared up, you can't really talk. But you're in the same room. You're in each other's presence, but there's no communication happening. That's what happens with God sometimes. He's not gone anywhere. He's right with you. But there's something come between you. And it's our sin sometimes. In the Old Testament, it was called hardened hearts. You know what a hardened heart is? It's one that's not soft before God. They kept disobeying God. And their heart got hard before God. And go, I don't really want to do what you want me to do. I don't really like this. And so their hearts got hard. It could be anything. It could be pride. It could be disobedience. It could be self-centeredness. It could be anger at God. It could be anger at somebody else. It could be immorality. It could be gossip. It's just something that you're doing in your life. It's considered sin that's coming between you and God. So what do you do if that's the situation? You first ask yourself the question, is there something in my life that's coming between me and God? And if you think there is, if God reveals that, then do these two things. What do I do? Confess and request. Confess and request. Confession is so simple. The word confession in Greek just means to agree with. God, you know I did it. I know I did it. I'm just going to admit that I did it. That's what confession is. 1 John 1:9, you should know this verse. If we confess our sins, if we tell him about it, if we agree with him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in other words, when we confess, he says, okay, my son died for you. His blood covered your sins. You're good. I'm going to cleanse you from that. The enemy will remind you that you did it, but God won't. You'll remind yourself that you did it, but God won't, unless he's teaching you something to learn. He said, it's forgiven. Move on. But you got to confess. Here's a question for you. When's the last time that you confessed something to God? When's the last time you sat down with God and you go, God, I did this. I had it in my heart. I said it with my mouth. I did it with my hands. When's the last time you spent time in confession? And if you haven't done it for a while, maybe a good thing to do today to stop and go, I don't need to tell anybody else but God. He already knows it, but it's not right now. I'm not as close as I could be. So start with confess. Request is a little bit different. I want to take you to a psalm that's just pure requests, especially for the person that feels distant from God. It's Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Here's a prayer to pray that if you're feeling distant from God. Here it is. 51:10, create in me a pure heart. God, my heart's not right with you right now. I want a clean and pure heart before you, but I can't do it myself. No one that I ever have heard of has ever done open heart surgery on themselves. You ever understand? I have people have done surgeries on themselves, and I read about one in the Civil War where a guy did surgery on himself. Like, I don't know how you could do that. But you can't do open heart surgery on yourself that I know of. You can't change your heart. Only God can. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. My spirit's not right with you, God, and I can't fix it. I keep doing the same thing over, and I can't fix it. But I need, if you'll change me, I'll be better. So God, would you change my heart and change my spirit? And then he writes, do not cast me from your presence. This is a powerful thing. God, don't push me away because of my sin. I want to be close to you. I want to know you. I'm feeling distant. Don't push me away. Don't push me away from you, God. I want to be close. And then the next part is really, really an Old Testament thing to understand, or take your Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon people. And in the New Testament, we know the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. So in our world, in the way we live beyond the cross and beyond Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, but you don't hear him as well. You don't hear him as well. Before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. Right now on Amazon Prime, I think I'm going to recommend it. I'm still, the jury's out. There's a new series called House of David. It's very much a realistic portrayal of David. But it starts off with Samuel and Saul. You guys remember that story? Saul was a tall guy, and the people of Israel cried out for a king. And so Samuel went and chose Saul. And Saul was, at the first, was very humble. He came before God, and he was very humble. He was a little bit, like, insecure. And so he was really close to God. Victories were happening. And then it started going to his head, and he started to walk away from God. And then he did something very disobedient to God. And Samuel comes to him, and it's really well done in the series. And it's straight out of Scripture. And Samuel says, because of your disobedience, the Holy Spirit's leaving you. And the way the actor did it, and you could see it on Saul, this change in him. Suddenly he's changing, like the Holy Spirit's been taken away, and he enters this madness. And they do it in a really neat way to get you to think. But it's a powerful moment. Go, the Holy Spirit's ripped out. And you could see the despair in his face. And it'd be like, wow, that's a tough place to be. And Saul never humbles himself and comes back. And it's one of the sad stories of the Old Testament, right? But this idea that, God, I want to hear your spirit. I want to be close with your spirit. I want to know your spirit. So don't keep me separated. And then the last verse here in verse 12, it says this, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I want to know you again, God. I want to be back close to you. And then grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Why? Because my spirit keeps roaming. I keep doing the wrong thing. I keep making the wrong choices. I can't do what's right. When you get to that place in the world in your life with Jesus, you're just going, God, I just want you to change me. I had a professor in seminary, one of my favorites, and he said there's a prayer, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. And I love it. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I can't do it on my own. I want to, but I don't want to. I can't. I keep trying. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. It's the same thing. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Change my spirit. So again, these are questions you ask yourself. Am I separated from God? Does he seem distant? Was there something going on in my life? Am I moving away from God? God, would you give me a pure heart? God, would you renew a new spirit in me? God, don't push me away. Let me hear from your spirit again. God, restore the joy that I had with you and grant me a willing spirit because I don't always want this. But if you'll change me, I can do it. So it's a great question to ask. Is there something coming between me and God? Number three, last question to ask ourselves. Do we really want to be close to God? Do you really want to be close to God? Do you really want to know him? Do you want to be close to him? I mean, because that's why we're here, right? That's why God brought us into this world, to be close to him. Do you really want that? Psalm 42, 1 and 2 is a passage we looked at in our small groups. And it's really powerful. It says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Let's sit there for just a second. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. I look for an image of this to kind of put on the screen. And I kept finding images of a deer by a stream. And if you look at the verse, there's no stream. Right? The deer is thirsty, but there's no stream right there. He's panting. He's thirsty. I just want to have it. So in my mind, there's no stream nearby. He's just extremely thirsty. You ever been really, really thirsty? The writer's saying, that's how my soul feels. I just want God in my life. Next verse, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then the question, when shall I come and appear before God? When are we going to be close again? That's what I want. I want to go back to that. I want to go back to the way it was when I first started following Jesus. It's been a while, but I want that again. God, would you do that? So what do you do? What do I do if I find myself in a place where I really want God? I really want him in my life. I want to experience him again, and not just feelings, but I want to know him. What do? There's two things. You seek and you draw near. You seek and you draw near. Jeremiah 29:13. This is about the nation of Israel, but it applies to us too. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me how? What does it say? With all your heart. When you really want it, you'll find him. When you say, he's the most important thing, if I get that right, if I find him, then everything else will fall into place. If I seek him with all my heart, like it's not a side thing. It's not like I'll do this on the side. It's like, I really want to know God. I really want to experience God. James 4:8 says this, come close to God. You take the first step and God will come close to you. He's already there, but he's waiting for you to turn to him. And then he says, wash your hands, you sinners. In other words, confess, get it right with God. Purify your hearts, ask him to clean you up, just like we just read. For your loyalty is divided between God and the thing of the world. You're seeking over here for something instead of seeking for God. But if you move close to God, he will be there for you. Do you really want to be close to God if he seems far away? He'll be found. He says, you'll find me if you look for me. But you got to look for me. In Elijah's story, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Remember how God spoke? It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the hurricane-like winds. How did God speak? Do you remember? He whispered. In order to hear a whisper, you got to be quiet. and hear from God. I had an interesting week this week. I had a friend of mine call me up, or he texted me, and he says, hey, I'm looking at doing something new. He's moving from what he's doing into personal coaching, and he's looking for guinea pigs is the bottom line. Would you be my guinea pig? I won't charge you. I said, okay, I can do that. So his thing was every day for 5 days for 1 hour, and he would either meet me in a coffee place or meet me on Zoom. For my life, it worked better for Zoom. And so I said, okay, let's do this. I have no idea what we're going to do, but I'm just going to sit through this. And so he's a former pastor. So he asked me these questions, really probing questions, good questions. Made me think a lot. Every day I walked out, I go, man, my brain's tired. He made me think. And one of the things he asked me about, how am I doing spiritually? What do I do spiritually to grow? And I said, well, I have a prayer time every day, and I journal. He goes, what do you do for your journaling? I said, well, I do the following things, and I kind of talked to him. He said, that's good. Can I share one thing that I've learned? And he shared one thing that he learned, and I go, I'm talking about it on Sunday. Can I borrow that? So I'm borrowing. What you're about to see, I completely borrowed from my friend, okay? So he said it's okay. So here's what you do when you feel distant from God, and you want to be close to him. It's something you can do every single day. You can either journal it, you can just walk through it. There's six things. If you want to hear from God, here's what you do. Number one is repent. Repent. It's confess. On my journal, I write repent. And I don't put sentences. I put words. Like, I was cynical. I said the wrong thing. I had this in my heart. I was lazy. I mean, I just am really quiet. God showed me my heart. And I just write down a few things. And I repent. I confess. I realize, hey, I messed up. It's really cleansing the soul. Next thing you do is rejoice. Rejoice. Over the last 24 hours, I go back and I look at what has God done in my life that's really good? What do I see? And I just write down, he did this, he did this, I have this. I read this morning that John D. Rockefeller used to be the richest man in the world. He had billions, right? He did not have a car. He didn't have air conditioning. He didn't have a house like we had. He didn't have running. I mean, there's all these things that we have that he never had. And he was the richest guy in the universe, and we have all this stuff he never had. We're actually richer than he was in what we have. And go, do we ever thank God? He never had a car. We have all this stuff. Do we ever stop and say, God, thank you for this stuff. Thank you for joy that I have. Thank you for the people in my life. Just begin to look for God's goodness in your life. It'll help you connect better with God. Gratitude is extremely healthy spiritually and emotionally. Just rejoice for what God's doing in your life. Next one is reflect. Reflect. Over the last 24 hours, where have you seen God? Over the last 24 hours since yesterday, where have you seen God? Has he spoken to you? Have you seen him? This morning, we talked about this in first hour. It may be the first time in a while that we saw a sunrise because of the time change. So we were driving to church today, and the sun does rise at this time of day. But you just see the sunrise and go, that is so cool. There's God. Now, here's a weird thing. I think it was Friday, I was putting together this piece of furniture that Stacy got. And furniture comes in pieces now. It's not, you don't buy the whole thing. So I had it a while. And so I put it on Pandora. I have no idea how this happened. The algorithm was something. A George Strait song came on. You guys don't even know who George Strait, the country people know. Other people go, I don't know who this guy is. He had this song, I Saw God Today. I kind of stopped and go, that is so cool. And he's just singing about how he saw God. And he says, I've read the book. I've been to church, but then I saw God as this flower coming up the sidewalk. I saw God as this couple was holding hands. And he goes, look, I know he's there. This is a line from the song, but I don't look. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? We may feel like God's distant, but are we even looking for him? And he just said in this reflection, where have you seen God in the last 24 hours? Man, I've seen God. I've heard from God. Just reflect over 24 hours. Did he speak to you? And you just didn't even think about it. Did you really look? After that is request. Tell God what you need and then keep track of it. So then God answers. You go, look, God is working. I'm just not paying attention. Or request that God changes your heart, and he is. Next one is receive. Receive means you sit for a period of time and quiet. And just listen. Sometimes he may speak to you out of the things that you're reading. I was reading a book by a guy, he's a financial planner. He goes to work early, 20 minutes. When he gets to the parking lot, he shuts everything down and he just sits before the Lord and is quiet and listens. When's the last time you just stopped and said, I'm gonna be quiet, God. God said, be still and know that I'm God. Do you ever have quiet time? Just quiet time. Not even reading time. Not even speaking time. Just speak God. And then get really quiet so he can speak and you can hear his voice. And then finally, what's response? Response is this. It's what does God tell me to do now? And you just write it down. I feel like he's telling me to do this. He's telling me to go here. He's telling me to be quiet. He's telling me to be still. He's trying to tell me to get rid of this in my life. Just listen and write it down. That's God speaking to you. And then you go, okay, God is not distant. He's here. I was just looking for something else. And let God speak. As we conclude this, I just want you to kind of think about this, the why behind everything. Why are we here? Why are we on this earth? Because God wanted a relationship with us. Why did Jesus come? Because God wanted a relationship with us. Why did God do things in the last 24 hours to bless you, to help you in life, that makes your life better? Because God wants a relationship with you. Why does God speak to you through his word? Because God wants a relationship with you. Why does he speak to you through prayer? Because he wants a relationship with you. Why does he speak to you through other people? Because he wants a relationship with you. Why does he wipe out the sin in your life? Because he wants a relationship with you. Everything that God has done in your life was about one thing for you. He wants you to know him and to have a relationship with him. He doesn't want to be distant. He wants to be right here where you're walking together. That's what it means to find and follow Jesus. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. So as we look at this, why is God distant? What do I do? Maybe he's doing that in your life because he wants you to want him. Distance makes the heart grow fonder, right? You ever been separated from someone you love, and they've moved, or they've gone on vacation, you can't wait till they come back? Sometimes God does that and he goes, now, do you really want me in your life? I'm here. I didn't go anywhere, but let's get back together. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. This is nothing new for human beings. People have been seeking you for time immemorial. They've been looking for you, and you desire to be found. Father, for those that may be in the room today that don't have a relationship with you, but they're hungering and thirsting for that, and they want to know you, I pray that those, even today, by faith, invite Jesus Christ into their Lord and to be their Lord and Savior. Maybe even today they're just saying, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I need a Savior. Come enter my life. And Father, thank you that you are so faithful if they pray that prayer, that you'll enter in with your Holy Spirit and enter their life and begin to lead them in this new relationship. I pray for people in the room that have had a great relationship with you, and right now it's even better, and we just rejoice in that. They're hearing from you every day. They're connected with you. Their life is filled with joy and peace. Their relationship is so fulfilling that nothing can bother them, filled with contentment. I thank you for that, Father. That is a gift from you. And I thank you, too, for the times that we go through really difficult pit kind of experiences where we're in the muck and the mire and we seem stuck and you're right there and you put your hand down, it's not too short, and you pull us up and you say, I have always been here and I've always wanted you back and now we're together. Father, I pray for them to experience the new joy of their salvation in their life. Speak to them even where they are. And for any of us, Father, that are in the room today that have this consistent sin in our life, this life sin that we keep doing over and over, whatever it may be, we pray today for healing and forgiveness and for the bondage to be broken in people's lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. They may experience you in new ways. Release them from this sin, Father. And we pray this not of our own power, our own authority, but in the authority and name of Jesus Christ. And we look for you to do amazing things in his name. Amen. Today for communion, I want to continue this theme, and so we're not going to introduce something new. Just want to go back to something we've always already talked about, James 4:8. Today I'm going to encourage you to use communion as a time to get close to God, no matter where you are. So this is what we're going to do. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Physically, as you get up, I want you to picture your mind. You're actually moving to God. And it says, wash your hands, you sinners. Like, ask him, is there something that's come between us, God? Something I said, something I did, something I continue to do, an attitude I have, a motivation that's wrong, hardened heart, whatever it is, God, show me that so I can be purified. Because my loyalty maybe is divided between God and the world or God and myself. So as you come up today, just really in your mind, your heart, your spirit, just go, I'm coming to God. I'm drawing near to God no matter where you are. It could be really, really close. It may be you're far away, but now you want to get closer. Spend some time with him. Ask him any of those questions that we just went through and then take communion when you're ready. Because Jesus Christ died, gave his body and his blood so you could be close with your heavenly Father and know him for all eternity. So take this time and really draw close to him. Use it as a great experience to know God. So let's pray. Father, over this time, may it be a sacred time, may it be a healing time, a time of real communion between us and you. May your spirit invade this place in a powerful way. May we be just open before you. If there's things in our life that have taken us away, things that we're doing, things that we've thought, the things that we've wanted to do that weren't of you, I just pray you'll reveal that to us so that we can be cleansed and leave here closer to you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when you're ready to receive, go get close to God. Draw near to him.